Good morning, everyone. So this morning we're going to continue with our series on Acts, but this morning we're going to focus on a character who's quite prominent in Acts. And if anyone's taking notes, you never know. The title is, I Didn't Have to Run for Freedom. Freedom ran into me. Okay? Got one amen. Sit down now. Okay. So this morning, you're going to have to listen quite carefully to what I say. Otherwise, you're actually going to misunderstand what I say. And then we're going to have a problem. Well, I'm going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem. Okay. So just if you think that what I'm saying isn't right, isn't proper, isn't correct, just wait till the end. Okay? My email address is on the address list, and I have actually emptied my trash can so I can just delete all the emails. Okay. So let's just pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time of gathering to just hear your voice. And Lord, we just, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just open both our ears and our spiritual eyes, that you would soften our hearts, that you would just speak clearly to us, and that we would hear your word this morning. And that word would encourage us and just move us forward in our individual walk and journey with you. Amen. So let's start with the verse that's on the notice sheet. Luke 22, verse 62. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Okay. I hope that when you saw that verse this morning on the notice sheet or on the email in the week, you went, it's a bit odd, isn't it? Because the verse that was put on was, he went outside and wept. I didn't quite realise this version would say his name. And I was hoping that you would look at that and go, well, who was that then? Who went outside and wept bitterly? Now, some of you are great Bible scholars and know exactly who it was, but I was hoping that others might have just had a quick look. Okay. So let's read the previous verses to get a bit of context. Okay. They seized him. So we're on Luke 22, 54. Down to 62. Sorry, Joel. I'll get the hang of this eventually. Maybe not. Okay. So, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you are talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned, looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoke to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Now, some of the older Gospels don't actually say that the Lord looked directly at him. But let's stick with what is being said in Luke. Imagine you've just said for the third time, nope, I don't know him, nothing to do with me. And he looks straight at you. It's quite horrifying, that, isn't it? You see, they reckon apart from bereavement of a loved one, that betrayal is the next hardest thing to take and causes more pain, mental pain, than anything else. So let's jump forward in the story to after Jesus' resurrection. And in John 21, we read that Peter and the other disciples have been out fishing all night and have caught nothing. Isn't it interesting that after the death of Jesus and the resurrection, Peter went back to what his old trade was? Yeah? The dream's over. I'm going to go back and start fishing again. Yeah? And maybe, being a man, he just needed something to occupy his time while he cleared his thoughts. Sometimes men are a bit like that. No, you ladies don't quite get it, but we need to just go off and do something. Okay. But even his fishing wasn't working for him. Being out all night and caught nothing. Just another kick in the butt after his denial. Just another thing that's going wrong. Yeah, you can almost imagine him sat on the boat going, nothing ever works out for me. Flipping heck. I was with Jesus. That all went horribly wrong. I can't even fish now. Even the fish are deserting me. Okay. But Jesus has stood on the beach and he shouts out to them. Friends. It's an interesting choice of word, isn't it? Friends. Haven't you any fish? And they all went, no, no, nothing, no, 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 not a thing. Right, cast your net out the other side. Now, if that was me, I'd be like, I've been here all night doing this. You're having a laugh. There is no way I'm throwing that net over the other side. And the water's too shallow anyway, because I can hear you from the beach. Yeah? So in the natural, yeah, there's no point in doing this, folks. And Peter, being a great fisherman, although he caught nothing, would have known the water's too shallow and I've been at this all night. But they did it. And it says that the net was that full of fish that they couldn't even get it onto the boat. Now, I can understand if I was on the boat trying to get the fish in the net, you know, there's not much there. But these were big, burly fishermen, strong men. And they couldn't get the fish on the boat. Okay. And then in John 21:7, it says this. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. I love the way that John is so modest. When he's writing, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John writing about himself. Brilliant. So was he being unmodest? Or does he just grasp it before everyone else? Does he just understand the love that Christ has for him? Has he just got it before the others? A bit like Peter, when Jesus said, who did he say I am? And Peter went, you are the Christ. Yeah, he had the revelation first before anyone else. And I just wonder whether John's the same here. He understood the masterpiece that he was, that God had created, and that God was going to use him to reveal his nature, his beauty, and his majesty and magnificence to all around him. And that's why he comes across as a bit immodest. But look at Peter. He's back to his old self. He's back to his game. He's back to being that hothead. He's back to that fella who in the garden cut off the servant's ear. He's back to being his resilient self. Or is he? And he jumps off the boat. And we all know from previous gospel stories, Peter's not a good swimmer, because when he tries walking on water, Jesus has to rescue him. So they're in shallow water, and he gets across to the beach. Okay, now, that's not the action of a man who's just denied Christ. Straight off the boat, straight into the water, straight across to the beach. That was me who denied Jesus. I'd be at the back of the boat pretending to fix the nets and doing anything. And he'd be like, we're here, it's time to get off. And I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying here. Yeah? Who wants to look the fella they've just denied in the eyes? Anyone? No? Okay, I'm in good company. That makes a change. That's good. And Jesus makes them breakfast. Is that not amazing? When he needed them most, they'd all gone, fled, deserted. And yeah, here he is, making them breakfast. Okay, and then John goes on to report that this happens. So John 21, 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? That includes John, who thought he was loved the most. Okay? Just want to make that point. And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So I'm almost certain that my reaction to Peter, if I was Jesus, and we're all grateful I'm not, but if I was on the beach, my reaction to Peter would have gone something like this. Right, daft lad, where's my apology? Where is it? And guys, there's all your breakfasts. What, Peter, I'm one short. No. I'm not. You're not getting any breakfast. You don't even know me. Yeah? Or it'd have been something like this as you come up out the water. Hi, Peter. I'm Jesus. You don't seem to know me. Yeah? Or it'd have been, that's very nice, Peter. The 3 hours of begging for forgiveness are quite good. I'm quite impressed. But you've got another 3 or 4 hours to go here, fella, before I even consider. Yeah? I wouldn't have been making them breakfast. You guys do not deserve breakfast, and I ain't going to be making it. But that's just me. That's why Dawn normally does breakfast now. Okay. But let's go back to Peter and the denial. And that verse in Luke 22, 62. Making you earn your money this morning, Joel. Okay. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Now, it doesn't tell us what Peter was bitterly weeping about. Okay? And nowhere does it show us, at least I can't find it, that there's a public apology from Peter. Nowhere does it say in any of the Gospels. And Peter, when he met Jesus, when Jesus came back and revealed himself to the disciples, and Peter was there going, boss, I'm sorry. I got this so wrong. Doesn't say it anywhere. But going back to the weeping, I believe that Peter was weeping out of place of total brokenness. Broken that Jesus was going to die. I think at that point, he suddenly realized and understood what Jesus has been saying leading up to this. Broken that the love and friendship were gone. Broken for the national dreams that he had, that Jesus hadn't got rid of the Romans and restored the kingdom of Israel. Broken for his personal dreams. There ain't no way now Jesus is going to build his church on me. I've just denied him. He ain't going to do it. And I believe tears of repentance. And that if he got a chance to serve his master again, he'd do it wholeheartedly. That's impossible. The dream was over. And his Savior was about to face the cross. See, repentance is a good thing, but it's a starting place. A place to move on from. And as I say, I've looked and I cannot see Peter apologising anywhere in the Gospels. And yet, with such a public denial, it's in the Gospels. It's in all of the Gospels. A public denial. There is no public repentance. Flabbergasts me. You know, surely if you're following a religion, then a public apology is what's needed. Surely we'd have sought a public humiliation for Peter, a flogging. We'd want him at the front, in front of all of Jesus' followers, going, yeah, I denied him 3 times. Yeah, I sat there and said it wasn't me. I wasn't one of his followers. Surely a public denial gets a public apology. You know, for me, Peter had been removed from ministry for at least 2-3 years. He'd have walked around in sackcloth and ashes for probably about the same time. But who would have been able to demand that public apology? The other disciples? Nope. They'd fled into the night. A physical denial rather than a verbal one like Peter's. So that leaves only Jesus. But he's already dealt with the issue. Peter's denial and shame have been nailed with Jesus to the cross and buried with Jesus in the tomb. But it wasn't resurrected with Jesus on the third day. It remained buried in the tomb because it was dead and it had been murdered by grace and bore by the one who was denied. That's a place where you can get a little bit happy. Peter's public denial is dead, sorted, dealt with, buried, is no more. See, repentance isn't the same thing as salvation. Might lead you there, but salvation is an ongoing covenant between you, Jesus, and God. And without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, repentance can become a hollow, empty, religious act, being done only as a way of cleaning our own consciences. And if it becomes this hollow act, then it becomes a religious snare to stop us from performing the God-given task we were born to complete and leaves us on our knees, shameful and condemned. Okay? Told you needed to listen carefully. Peter could have spent the rest of his life on his knees, repenting, 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 repenting. Yeah? And using it as Jesus saying, I need you to do this. I'm going to build my church on you. But no, you can't do that. Why? Because I let you down. because I denied you, and I need to repent of that. And Jesus is going, no, it's done, it's sorted. See, we become sin-focused rather than Jesus-focused, spending all our time on our knees, focusing on all of our many failures, repenting, navel-gazing, saying sorry for the sins that Jesus has dealt with, buried and forgotten. So you need to ask and you need to listen to the Holy Spirit of what you need to repent of. Okay? I'm going to say that bit again. You need to ask and listen to the Holy Spirit for what you need to repent of. I've repented of every action of empire, good and bad. Sins of grandfathers, of a father and mother that I've never even met. But it wasn't led of the Holy Spirit. It was me making excuses so I didn't have to do what the Spirit wanted me to do. Okay? I ain't saying repentance is a bad thing. Please hear me. Repentance is a good thing. Okay. But true repentance means to change your thinking and move. Think in a new way and move in a totally new direction. We're in a spiritual battle. And an army on its knees telling its king that it's useless. Sorry for not preparing. Sorry for not practicing with its weapons. And for allowing the sword of the word to become rusty is not what the king wants to hear. Not once and not every time the soldier or army comes before him. Okay. Have you ever noticed that when Paul's described in Ephesians 6 the armour of God, he talks about breastplate, but he doesn't talk about a backplate? Have you ever noticed that? And the reason being is that God's created and designed you to move forward in your calling, in your journey with him. You're not called to retreat at any point. Okay? See, true repentance is spirit-led. And it affects you. And it affects the way you live. Peter was a different man on the beach. Compare the two. Don't take my word for it. Read your Bible. Compare the two. The Peter that denied Christ and the Peter who jumped out the boat and ran up that beach, they were different people. He was focused on his Saviour, on his Christ. Please all don't look so condemned. I'm railing. Okay. So why does Jesus need to ask Peter three times if he loved him? Why three times? It's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? Three times, one for each of the denials. Nice bit of writing. Or God doing what God does. See, I believe that one of them was to show Peter that each of his denials was sorted and forgotten about. It was dealt with. I believe that it was to show us and the rest of the world that Peter was loved and forgiven. Okay. And it was also to show Satan and the principalities and powers of darkness that it's dealt with. Peter's denial is dealt with. And you can tap him on the shoulder and you can say, I know what you did. I saw it. And you can do that all day long, but it's dealt with. It's dealt with. It's buried. It's ancient history. And that morning on the beach, Peter stopped focusing on his failings and on his denial and started focusing on Jesus instead. Peter began to get the revelation of who he was in Christ. Peter left the denial behind, secure in his Saviour's love and friendship. There's quite a distinction there, isn't there? Love and friendship. So Jesus stands on the beach and he goes, doesn't go, you guys, disciples, servants, No. Friends, he calls them. See, it's one thing to be loved of God. It's another thing for God to like you and to be your friend. Makes a world of difference. We can all sit here and go, God loves me. Does he like you? I don't know. Don't know whether he likes me. Yeah? But Jesus is quite simply saying here, come on, fella, it's done. It's done with. Let's move on. We've got work to do. We've got a world to change. We've got people to save. So, peace is freedom. I was waiting on the beach that morning. Yeah. Peter could have stayed far away from Jesus and prayed and repented and prayed and prayed and prayed and probably have kept on praying for the rest of his life. But what it needed was an action. But an action not just from Peter, but an action from Jesus. Yeah? The action being, friends, have you got any fish? And a response of the heart from Peter of, that's Jesus. Look at what John says to him. Hey, fella. What? That's the Lord on the beach. What? That's the Lord on the beach. Now, if that was me, I'd be going, well, I don't think it is. Your eyesight's not what it used to be. You're getting on a bit now, you know. No, it is, honestly. That's Jesus. Look at what it says. It says, John said, that's the Lord on the beach. And Peter immediately was over the side of the boat, through the water, across the sand, to his Saviour. Not the act of a shameful, guilty man. Yeah? There'd been a change in heart there already. Can you see that? Can you see it? That there's no Jesus beating him with a big stick. Yeah? Peter's heart had changed already. Quite amazing. So, let's, like Peter, move on and look at Peter in prison. So in Acts 12, you don't have to turn to this if you don't want to. So in Acts 12, we read that Peter's been arrested. He's in double chains. He's got guards either side of him. And he's waiting for execution. He's not waiting for a fair trial. Not that he'd have got one. Yeah? He's not waiting for his solicitor to arrive. He's waiting for death to arrive. He knows that with the morning, that's it. It's all over. And then an angel appears, and it says that he woke Peter up. I don't think I'd have been asleep. I'm waiting to be executed. I think I'd have been quite awake, quite moaning to God that this isn't fair and he needs to do something. Yeah, but Peter was asleep. So the angel wakes him up and says, come on, get dressed, get your shoes on, let's go. And again, Peter's got a choice to make. Is he dreaming? And he's not even sure whether he's dreaming. Or is he awake? So he decides, I'm going for it. I'm going to go for this. So he gets up, he gets dressed, puts on his Dr. Martens or whatever he had, and he's out. He's out of the prison following the angel. And then, once outside, they get to a street and the angel disappears. But Peter carries on walking in that freedom that he's just been given. See, Peter didn't break out of prison. Didn't saw through the chains. Didn't beat up the guards either side of him. Didn't pick the lock on the door. Yeah? Peter didn't escape. Peter didn't bring his own freedom. Peter sat there, well, lay there asleep and woke up and accepted the freedom. The freedom was God delivered. The freedom came to Peter. Yeah? Now, when we read some of these stories, the same with Paul and Silas, although theirs is slightly different, we always think, and God allowed them to escape to freedom. It's now it is. Read it properly. Freedom walked right through the door, give him a shake, give him a bit of a kick, and went, come on, let's go. It was a gift. And Peter needed to accept the gift. He could have stayed there. He could have gone, one angel ain't enough against all these temple guards. And there's going to be Roman guards. And there's going to be doors. And there's going to be. So no, one angel ain't enough. I want at least 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. I don't really know how many. But one isn't enough. But he didn't. He went, okay, let's go. Okay. It says he doesn't know whether he was dreaming or not, but he took the chance. He went, okay, God, I'll go with it. Some would describe that as faith. Okay. But just as the morning on the beach, he had the same decision to make, didn't he? Do I stay? Do I go? Okay. And look what Look what choosing freedom led to for Peter and for the early church. In Acts 2, he addresses the crowd, and over 3,000 were added to the church. A guilty, shameful Peter who hadn't accepted his freedom ain't going to stand before 3,000 people and declare Jesus. That's the same Jesus he denied not that long ago to them. And then in Acts 3, he declares healing to a lame beggar. He was healed. So look what freedom can get you. Look what being free in Jesus can mean. Repentance is good and it's proper, but please don't use it as an excuse not to move on in God. Yeah? True repentance turns it around, sets you up for something different. Okay, we're going to play a song now, hopefully, if my technology works. Nothing to do with Pete this. Okay. And I want you to listen to the words. Now, this song was a live recording, which me and Dawn were at. So if you listen carefully, you might hear us singing. I think the engineer's done a good job and managed to fade me out of it. So that's good. But our Matt also played on guitar on this. Just a little pair and boast there, just to throw in. But just listen to the words. And just really understand what I've been saying here this morning. You don't have to escape to find freedom in Christ. It comes to you. Okay.
The law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Jesus Christ. Free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to live in that mess. All of the chains fell off and the doors all open wide. Whether or not I stay or go, I am free for life. And I didn't have to fight for it or try to get right for it. And I didn't have to pay for it. To escape for it, and I didn't have to call for it
or break through a wall for it. I didn't run for freedom, freedom ran into me. The law of the spirit of life has set me free in Jesus Christ. Free from the law of sin and death, I don't have to live in that mess. All of the chains fell off and the doors all open wide. Whether or not I stay or go, I am free for life. I didn't have to have faith for it or change my ways for it.
It's a gift. And like any gift, you can choose to accept it. But it's there. Deal with your sin. But don't focus on it. Bring it before God. Just go. There you go. That's yours. You've dealt with it. I'm moving on. Stop focusing on it and focus on Jesus and move forward. There's work to be done. Let's move on. Thank you.